2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Once again, everybody, this is Chop of Dong bringing the VIP portion, not the VIP portion. This is the first portion. I'm already confused of the DFS Army podcast to you guys for what, week 11 we're in now, Kevin? Is that right?
We're past the halfway point. We're going over the hump.
Oh, man. Let me tell you, this is something else. We were talking a little bit before on kind of a couple of things that kind of got you started. I'm going to ask you to kind of rehash that quickly just for everybody, because I think it's important that people know. But first, just to give you the particulars, you're listening to the podcast produced by the DFS Army. You have Kevin, who you just heard. He's the founder of the DFS Army. You can find him on Twitter at FFootballGeek. That's FFOOTBALLGEEK. I'm getting better and better at spelling that every week. You can find me at Chopodong, which is Chopodong. And that's how you find us. DFSArmy.com is the website we represent. We're growing every week. We've got people coming into our VIP portion of our Slack channels. You'll hear about how to get involved. I know that I have people contacting me on Twitter with interest all the time about, hey, you know, what's it about? What's going on? How do you, I've listened to your podcasts. I've listened, read some of your articles. You guys do a great job. So it's out there. It's working. We're not the best kept secret in the world anymore. So, but to kind of lead in before we bust up some games and the breakdowns, and then, of course, we're going to come back later tonight with the VIP portion of the podcast. We're going to break into strategy and stuff like that. Kevin, you were talking a little bit about kind of how you got started, because I was talking about how me and a buddy today were talking, Jay Hall, we were kind of grinding up our bankroll, doing a little bit of basketball, doing a little bit of this, and you were just like, yeah, man, that's how it works, and you kind of went through your own history, and I'd like for you to just recap that for like 2 minutes, because I think that was really good. I think a lot of people need to hear that even those of you that have been around for 5, 6, 7 years are still, you know, you guys started the same way everybody else did.
The conversation was struck up because you mentioned, hey, I've been grinding, you know, I'm making, you know, a little bit of profit every day, and, you know, it's kind of slow. And I was going, man, that's how you do it. So I was just kind of recanting when I started back in 2011, when I discovered FanDuel. I put $100 in. I mean, this is how you get there. You know, I put $100 in. My goal was, I don't want to lose money. I like doing season-long fantasy football. I love sports. I love watching it. I was like, you know what? If I could do this, it's like an extra league for me. Let me see if I can make it last for the season. And you go through the season, and you take $100, and you wind up with $300 at the end of the year. And I felt like that was the greatest thing ever. And so, you know, and I played. It didn't take long to come up with the style. Like, I lost money. I came back. And you know, you have the great score that you forgot to put in a GPP, and you kind of learn the lesson of never do that. And that's sort of where I was developing that basic strategy that I still use for the most part to this day, which is just, you know, with head-to-heads, heavy focus on that, and the hybrid style of lineup construction. I have something planned for next week's Vegas Lines column about the different strategy, very different between FanDuel and DraftKings, and sort of different approaches that you need to use for those two different sites. But it was all FanDuel at the time, and you know, it took me a whole year to go from 100 to 300. And you know, as I'm seeing here, I guess it must have been my second year, because I remember I was telling you the story. It was Hurricane Sandy.
Yeah, that's what made me go, this is just going to be good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it was a cool story because, you know, here I am, my first ever big GPP win, or at the time, I guess it was during Hurricane Sandy weekend. And I had this lineup that was a complete stack of the Broncos. And that was before Peyton turned into like noodle arm. It was Peyton Manning. And
this was 7 touchdown Peyton, not.
Yeah, this was, you know, clock, Eric Decker.
Ball control Peyton.
I think it was Manning, Eric Decker. No Sean Moreno, you know, it was a stack based around this Denver game, and it worked out really well. And we were going into Monday night, and I knew I had looked around, and I'm like, oh my gosh, if San Francisco defense can, and this is the time when San Francisco defense wasn't terrible, could, put up like a seven, I'm going to win this contest. And, of course, the hurricane comes, and we lose power. And, everybody's in the basement sleeping, the kids, we got candles going. And all I'm thinking about is, fuck, oh, I want to check my score. I can't check this shit. And I was so pissed. And, so I didn't know if I had won, and I'm like, I can't call, I can't check, nothing. So the next morning,
It's like the ultimate sweat.
yeah, it was horrible. I couldn't watch the game. I'm like,
But you're
damn.
not worried about your roof flying off your
No,
house.
not the
You're
kid. I mean, again,
worried
we're in the
about you.
basement, in the middle of a hurricane, everything's shaking, and I'm like,
Did
shit.
San Francisco get me seven?
The
Tell
hell's
me. That's
going
all
on
I
with
need
the
to know.
49ers game right now, man?
Cars are replaceable, but
Yeah.
DFS is for life, man.
The next day, like 9 o'clock in the morning, I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna go out and assess the damage. Down power lines. I basically I like get in my car and I drive to a spot. I'm looking for anywhere where my phone can get any kind of bars on it
Oh,
so
you
I
told
can.
your wife you wanted to go check the damage, and you
Yeah,
went
I'm
to
gonna
a
check
bar
the
to check your
damage. No, not
DFS.
to a bar. I was just looking for a spot where there was cell service. And so I drove around and I'm literally ditching trees everywhere. Like the fallen debris was insane. Like it really was devastation outside. And all I care about, I'm like, shit, I won. I was so happy to win
Hey, look, a
$2,000 in that
Hooters
contest.
hurt. I'm pulling in there.
Yeah, I mean, it was a
That's hilarious.
$2,000 win, but it was the greatest thing ever. I was like, yeah, I won that shit. And
It's
that's
funny
how.
because you mentioned that you didn't even scale up until even after that until you binked another good one. And so I think that that's another important thing that a lot of guys need to know is that you pulled some of that money out, I'm sure, to do some stuff with, didn't you?
I'm sure it took a little bit. Yeah, I'm sure it took some money out, not to do stuff with, but just to know that any original money I had put into FanDuel or DraftKings ever was now back in my pocket, so that I was always playing with house money. I'm a big fan of doing that.
Sure.
And then, but I've had a hard time scaling up from there. I didn't really get a comfort level. I had a certain method, and I would make about 15 lineups, and I would put each one, and I could only really get to $300 or $400 worth of action any given weekend, even when I was kind of trying hard at that time to do more. It took a while to figure out a method for scaling up that I was comfortable with, so I just didn't. And I kept playing that same sort of style, and yeah, but my the point of the whole story was, and this really comes back around, is you got to be in it to win it. That's why we play like a conservative style. It's not so that it's a slow grind. It's so, yay, yeah, I want to keep churning lineup after lineup after lineup after lineup until I hit the good one. And you're going to hit that good one. You're going to do it. It's
Sure.
going to happen. It happens every day in our group. I see people who are average players, casual players, $100 a week players hitting, $2,000 wins, $5,000. It happens every single weekend. We got guys going to the Bah this weekend we have two people going are competing in the Bahamas contest. Casual players. These aren't guys who are multi-entering and putting $5,000 a weekend on the line. These are guys who are playing just like everybody else. Couple hundred bucks, $50, $100, couple hundred dollars a weekend. Getting the action. And it's important to always remember this is about making it exciting. It's about the sweat. Last weekend I was sweating out also a possible Bahamas ticket. Always a bridesmaid. But I'm sitting in first place for a while, if Philip Rivers doesn't throw that interception, blah, blah, blah. But nonetheless, it was awesome. I mean, it was fun to sweat it out. Even if you didn't win,
Well,
it's
sure,
fun to sweat it
you
out. I
start
mean, that's.
dreaming, you start planning, you start saying, "Hey, this would be awesome. What'll I do?"
Yeah, I'm like, holy shit, it's just like the lotto ticket when they're pulling those numbers. You're starting to think, hey, what if it is
Match
me?
that one. Oh,
Yeah.
matched that one. Oh, matched that
Yeah.
one. Yep.
So that, I mean, that's the whole point. My point is, this is about having fun. It's exciting. You get to watch the games. You got something on the line. You get to sweat it out. And, it's not about putting a lot of money into things. A big, use the right strategy. A big prize is going to come one day. I always feel like my thought going into every season is, I've got one, maybe two perfect lineups in me this year. That's all I need. One or two. And sometimes that perfect lineup that you do gets you second place in a qualifier and you don't make it. Shit happens. one of these times it'll be first place in one of those queues. But the point is, you got one or you got a couple of those in you every year, and I think we all do. I mean, it's not that
big. Yeah, I think people tend to put too high expectations on themselves. They come in, they hear everybody thinking that they're making hundreds of thousands of dollars, and they don't realize that that's a very small percentage of the world. And then they kind of put those if you keep those expectations very realistic, which is what we try to, number one, have fun. Number two, do it responsibly. Number three, get together with a group of guys that can yuck it up and sweat these things out. And the bigger the group of guys, the more fun it gets, because somebody's doing something great all the time. And one of these days, it's going to be your freaking turn, man.
That's the whole thing. I mean, that's why we have a social aspect to what we're doing also. It's fun. It's fun to talk about it. It's fun to compete with one another. It's fun to, like I said, it makes the game, watching the games fun. And so this is a lot of what it's about. But it's also about staying in the game, which is why when people get too greedy, that's kind of a degenerate thing. You know, you can't see that big prize and say, I'm just throwing all my bullets at the Millie Maker this week. You're going to lose all of your money. Simple as that. If you're not playing cash games, if you're not, bouncing out your entries, you're going to lose all your money.
Yep, I agree. And we have obviously tons of articles on bankroll management. If people want to read up, you can ask us in Slack, all that kind of stuff, because there's a ton of us that have some experience with that stuff. We're Kevin and I specifically are just a couple of guys that don't try to take each other too terribly seriously. So again, if this is your first time listening, this is what we're going to get into, but without taking ourselves too seriously, you want to break down some games for everybody?
Yeah, let's go. Let's start them off. It's a great, great week of,
Now I noticed just skimming through, Vegas Lions, which comes out tomorrow, for everybody. And that's actually free content. So look forward to that. You'll get a taste of Kevin's personality. You had mentioned that, you've got a couple of must plays. I think you mentioned Le'Veon Bell. I know you mentioned Martellus Bennett, who with the Gronk news breaking, I saw on one of the sites this week, he's been declared out. So
yeah, he's not gonna play.
Boom. That, I mean, a punctured lung, that's hard to come back from. I already went and swapped him out in my season long stuff, but that puts, I was thinking the exact same thing, is that puts Martellus Bennett like directly in a driver's seat.
I mean, it's not just, it's a shame that Bennett's coming off a big week and people will know about him or whatever, but that game is also projected incredibly high. So it's a game you want exposure to anyway. You want to find ways to get exposure to it. Just because if the Patriots are scoring 33 points, we want to get a piece of it. We want to figure out where it's coming from.
Multiple pieces of it.
Yeah, we want a lot of pieces of it. I mean, those kind of games are what you want action from. And when you have a super cheap tight end, there's three great tight ends this week. Like, I was thinking about allowing the tight end position to find its way into my flex this week on DraftKings.
That's unusual,
but there's some great spots where some of these guys are projected better than what their dollars are saying. So we'll get into a little bit of that. Let's get into the first game.
First game will be tomorrow night, since tonight's Wednesday night. I have something that I have to do tomorrow, so we're going to record this pod a little bit early. We have New Orleans at Carolina. Carolina's 3.5-point favorite, and the game total on that one's a whopping 52 points. Where I know Breeze, Cam, I know the big names that are going to be chalky and ready to roll, and this is another one of those games where you're probably not going to employ the Thursday fade if you play the Thursday slate. I mean, if you don't like this game, like I tend not to, where I'll say I don't really know what's going, short weeks, all this kind of stuff, typically I will just fade the slate entirely because I don't want to make that mistake. But this isn't the case for me this week. The last time that came up, it was. This time, I probably will be on tomorrow night's slate because I want pieces of this game.
That's just more proof that the chalk is going to be all over this game. But
it is.
I mean, how do you not play?
I mean, if I get a boner for it, I mean.
Yeah. I mean, how do you not play the Saints at Carolina? It's too juicy to pass up. This is really a pick your poison game. You stack it, both sides of the game. There's no wrong answers here. My top plays, and I think the most popular plays in the game, are going to be Newton, Olsen, Benjamin, Breeze, Cooks, and Michael Thomas, especially Michael Thomas on FanDuel, where he's ridiculously underpriced. FanDuel pricing this week is much, much softer than DraftKings again. And that's really 2 weeks in a row where it's much easier to make lineups on FanDuel. Lots and lots of value, ridiculous value in so many spots. But Michael Thomas is one of those. He's under, I feel like he's under 6,000 on FanDuel even. I'm not looking at the numbers. I have the numbers here, so I should look. But he's really cheap.
You can keep playing
Yeah,
name
he's well, 6,500. But yeah, he's 6,500. But I mean, there are some cheap guys there. And then and that is cheap, 6,500 relative to on DraftKings, where he's also 6,500.
And I got him at 66 on DraftKings. He's technically more expensive on DraftKings than he is on FanDuel.
Yeah, he's right there with with studs on DraftKings, but on FanDuel he's down with, you know, Jamison Crowder and you know, not that different from, you know, Marvin Jones Jr., some players that like Golden Tate that aren't that special. So yeah, I mean, he's a great deal on FanDuel. And then the secondary players here, you know, Willie Snead, he had a big week last week, but he's been the least productive of the Saints wide receivers. Kobe Fleener, you know, that's a real dice roll just in general because of his usage, only 60% of the snaps, but he is the passing down guy, and the Panthers are vulnerable to tight ends. You have Jonathan Stewart, who, you know, I'm kind of looking at Jonathan Stewart as the you don't want to play Stewart and Newton, Olsen, Benjamin, or some combo of that. If Stewart's getting points, he's doing them by scoring the touchdowns, right? And so if he's scoring touchdowns via the run, then these guys aren't getting them. So while and you might say, well, you know, isn't that always the case with running backs? But no, other running backs get a lot of reception points. They get yardage, stuff like that. Stewart doesn't get virtually any PPR-type reception points. He doesn't tend to have these 100-plus yard games, although this matchup is as good as he will get all year.
It just depends on what that offense wants to focus on and how they want to do, if they want to screw us or if they want to go the way they should.
No, I mean, and it's just the luck of the draw. Last week was a great matchup for
if I don't play him, if I don't play him, it screws me if he scores.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. So it's a tough one. Last week was the Patriots. They're playing Seattle, tough run defense. You know, the last thing you thought it was going to be was a LeGarrette Blount day. Right. And then Blount goes off for, what, 2-3 touchdowns? I mean, the guy went nuts. So you never know. You have these great games with a lot of scoring. You just want exposure to it. And there's no magic answer, especially in a game like this where neither defense is distinguished. Yeah, you know, exactly. The only thing distinguishable here is that the Panthers are really good against the run.
Here's a fun question for you. On FanDuel, Willie Snead is 6,700. Michael Thomas is 6,500. Who do you like better on FanDuel?
Michael Thomas, by a lot.
Okay. Michael Thomas is 6,600 on DraftKings, and Willie Snead is 5,000. Who do you like better?
Well, more than who do I like better, because I still like Michael Thomas better, but I think he's too expensive on DraftKings.
That's what I'm saying.
FanDuel.
Well, I mean price included, obviously.
Yeah, but I'm not going to even look at it that way. What that tells you, and this is why you play two sites and you have to be aware of two sites, is that Michael Thomas is just overpriced on DraftKings, and or Willie Snead is way overpriced on FanDuel. So either way, it's a warning. If I need to play Snead, I don't have the need for Snead. All right, but if I had the need for Snead, I'd play him on DraftKings. Especially since he's better on DraftKings, considering like the position he plays tends to be, but he just hasn't been good enough. Yeah, he caught 2 touchdowns last week, but it was on what, 56 yards? No, thank you. I need more than that.
So in a nutshell, if you're gonna play Snead, stick to DraftKings. If you're gonna play Michael Thomas, probably play him over on FanDuel where he's cheap. Other than that, stack up the elite plays and mix in a couple of secondary plays here and there, but don't go too crazy with
those.
There it
is. And Moncrief has a similar scenario going on with being overpriced on DraftKings. DraftKings got a little weird with their salary algorithm the last couple weeks, and it's made it interesting, is what I'm going to say. But, you know, you got to work with what you got to work with.
You say interesting, I say frustrating, but that's all good.
No, because everybody's got the same set of rules. But
same playing field. We all got to play the same golf course, but –
there it is.
Anyway, you want to move to the next game?
I mean, it's so good, the next game. And this is the greatness of this week.
Oh, well, sure. You're leading off with two great games. You got Tennessee at Indianapolis, Indianapolis -3 at home, and a total of 53 points this time. So, once again, you want to give us your little rap?
I mean, 53-point total. You want to suck it up, suck it up.
That's what we want. You got to give the people what they want.
Yeah, they do want the rap. They're like, shut up, geek, and tell me what the picks are. So basically, 53-point total, Colts, Titans, two hot offenses, what's not to like here? So let's just look deeper at this game, because obviously the first look is like, yeah, play the shit out of it. But who are we going to play? It's not hard to figure this part out. Mariota, Delaney Walker, DeMarco Murray. That's who does the damage for the Titans. The Colts are pretty much the worst team against the tight end position this season. Delaney Walker says, fine by me. I'll take the points. So Mariota to Walker looks great.
I don't think he cares if Mariota throws him the ball or if DeMarco throws him the ball.
Well, there it is now. DeMarco said, wait a second. What you talking about Delaney Walker for? The Colts also happen to be one of the worst teams against the running back. So, yeah, I mean, pick your poison, right? They're going to do a lot of scoring, this trio, right? On the other side of the ball, and I'm not so down with, Rishard Matthews and Kendall Wright. They're cheap. That's great. Play one, play the other. But neither guy is a featured WR1. Neither one. I think Matthews is a little better. But, I mean, you're going to get a shitty game out of him on occasion. His salary's coming up a little bit. So, he is who he is. He's fine, but he's nothing special. Then we have the other side. T.Y. Hilton is the man at home. The man. So if I'm looking for a stack with Luck, and I am, it's going to be Luck to Hilton. Probably, as my number one. Obviously, I like I didn't even put him in here because he was so damn expensive on DraftKings. I like Moncrief as well, but I like him on FanDuel because he's reasonably priced there. On DraftKings, Moncrief came in at a ridiculous 6,000-plus kind of number. The guy hasn't surpassed 20 DraftKings points, like, ever. So, to me, yes, he could have his breakout game this week in a great matchup and put up 28 points. But his salary is not justified by his production there. But it is fine on FanDuel, where it's also 6,500, but it's kind of like being 7,500. In other words, it's basically $1,000 less on FanDuel, and it's much more reasonable. He's priced down with some cheaper guys, and that's where you want to be. Anyone else?
The thing I like about Moncrief is he's that little slot guy that typically ends up doing a little bit of the PPR type of damage, but the dude gets red zone targets. Luck loves him down low.
Yeah, I wouldn't call him a little slot guy, though. He's not a little guy. He's a normal-sized wide receiver. There's nothing little about him. He just plays the role that Reggie Wayne played in that offense a couple years ago, and he plays a more of the ball control role on the team. But because he does have size, he does get those targets in the red zone, whereas T.Y. Hilton is playing a go deep and I'll throw it to you long role where he gets those big plays. He's not being used in the possession receiver sort of mold. So they both really I think they complement each other. To me, these two don't really vulture from one another too much. T.Y. Hilton plays the sort of role that he plays on the team, which is, again, a deep burner role, big play. Moncrief is more being used in the possession, chains moving. This is very similar to Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree, where Moncrief is really the Crabtree. And Hilton is the Cooper. Cooper's making the big plays. But Crabtree sometimes has a game where he catches three touchdowns because that's how things went. From the 10-yard line, they're looking for Crabtree for some reason. But on the big plays, they're looking for Cooper. So that's how this sort of duo works. But T.Y. Hilton, make no mistake, is the big play guy. Moncrief is going to be dependent on catching those touchdowns because – while he'll get you a nice PPR day, he has not been a 100-plus yard wide receiver, and so you can't really expect these – you just can't expect that much. Like, it doesn't justify the salary on DraftKings.
Absolutely not. When he's down under 5,000, it does.
No, that's what it was, or right around 5,000, 5,200. That's where he belongs, 5,500, not 6,500. The other thing of note is FanDuel is much more touchdown-dependent as a – sort of scoring system.
Absolutely.
So Moncrief, I happen to like him better on FanDuel because he doesn't need, he's not competing with PPR guys, and he's cheaper there. So everything about him tells me, yeah, play me on FanDuel. I could see doing a FanDuel lineup this week with Moncrief, Michael Thomas, and Julian Edelman. You have 65, 65, and 6,100. And now I can afford
You can Bell, go with running back.
Yeah, Bell and, you know, who's the two big guys this week? Bell and DeMarco. And you can afford it. You can pay for it because you got these cheap things. All right, the other guy I want to talk about in this game, though, is Frank Gore. And, you know, Frank Gore, you can't ignore the Gore. All right, the guy's been getting 20 touches a week.
You're totally becoming the rhymer, man.
I'm getting rhymes. My rapping is going to be back soon. Eventually, we're going to have to throw some beats on and I'll do a freestyle.
Oh, no. get to the picks.
20 years ago. Yeah, exactly. Frank Gore, you can't ignore Gore. The guy's putting a 20 catch. He's being used in the pass game. Like he's got everything you want, except for the fact that he's old. He does everything you want a running back to do. He gets a full workload. He's got a great situation this week. You know, he doesn't have the ceiling that some of these other guys have just because he's old. But he's got a pretty good floor. Like, he's got a pretty high floor for running back. It's like this guy's going to get you 10, 15 points. You know, he might get you up to 20 if a miracle happens. But more likely he's going to get you that 13 to 16 points. Pretty much every week, and he's cheap enough on these sites that you can use him. Again, he's not going to win you a GPP, but he's not going to probably not going to lose it for you.
Would you keep him more towards cash and hybrid constructions instead of a GPP?
Yeah. I don't think he's winning any GPPs. This guy is not the type of player.
Yeah, he's not a home run hitter.
25 points. No, he's just not. Doesn't have the speed anymore. I'm not saying it's impossible, but he just doesn't have the breakaway speed. So he's going to be super touchdown dependent. Basically, to have a special game, he's going to need to get two touchdowns, which he could, but other players can get a special game with just one touchdown.
Sure. Well, you've also got to ask yourself how many times out of 100, if this game was played, would he be likely to do that for you? And it's probably under 25 times.
It's definitely,
you know,
under
25
times.
Probably under 20, under 20,
yeah,
under 15.
I mean,
you're looking at a 10%. That's kind of a long shot. And take that into account. If you're going to throw him into a couple of your lineups, realize that, I mean, that's what you're doing. Is if you're doing it in a GPP fashion, you don't need quite that much. 10 to 15 points in cash is probably fine.
That's the thing. He's
at 6,300, I mean, he gets you a nice 12 to 13 points. I mean, that's pretty much right at what you want on FanDuel.
And there's a lot of value on FanDuel. There's a lot of value on FanDuel, so you don't necessarily have to save at running back. I mean, you know, Carlos Hyde is about the same price.
Well, if I had, like you said, and that's typically what I love doing myself, is I'll start to pay up at running back this time of year. I like those $6,000 to $7,000 wide receivers because they're either guys that are kind of falling out of favor a little bit, that are due a little bit of positive regression to come back towards what they typically can do, but yet they're still sort of producing, or it's guys that are just typically always forgotten, you know. And when those guys are typically always forgotten but are still producing, I love those guys. So somewhere, if I have all three receivers, somewhere between $6,000 and $7,000 on FanDuel, one of those guys is going to go off. One of those guys is probably not. And one of those guys is going to do what he usually does. And that brings value across the board. And that allows me to pay up for floor with the high upside to stud running backs. It allows me to usually come up a little bit at quarterback too and grab, you know, somebody with some potential in a great game. And that's the kind of stuff that pushes you maybe not into winning GPPs, because I'm never going to hit with that style of building. I'm never going to hit every single position really, really hard. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to get well past halfway. I'm going to get well past the 50-50s and get into the triple ups and into the quintuple ups, which is where my ROI comes from as a player. So
yeah, it's all – listen, it's all good. And you never know which one hits and when all three of the punts that you choose do well. I found for me personally, actually, like choosing a defense has been my Achilles heel. Like, man, if only I can hit those right defenses. It's really hard. You know, you never know which one's getting that 20. Like, who was thinking the Bucs? I guess there was the thought, the Bucs, yeah, why not? But I wasn't thinking about them last week. And,
no, they weren't on my radar either.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Yeah. Tough to remember them. All right. Yeah.
Let's roll on. Jacksonville at Detroit up there in the Dome. Detroit's 6.5-point home favorite. That's more of an indictment on Jacksonville, I believe. And the game total on this one's 47 points, so there's maybe a little bit of fantasy, a little nugget or two in there. Do you like Stafford as much as I do, or are you sticking kind of with like the Riddick, Allen Robinson types?
Yeah, I'm not super high on Stafford this week, only because there are other good options. I don't see the need for Stafford here, but I don't dislike him. I mean, he's at home. He doesn't have – all right. The positives are he's at home. He doesn't have a running back that's going to run in scores. They throw for touchdowns on that team. And so now he gets the Jacksonville defense on the road, ready to quit. That team's terrible. And, yeah, I mean, you know, I don't hate Stafford. I don't mind Stafford in this spot, to be quite honest. There are just so many other better spots this week that it's hard to like him. And it's not like, A, he's been putting up big numbers. He just hasn't. And he's been putting up – he's had a couple of good games, but last few weeks, nothing special. Now,
yeah,
in fairness –
he's had a couple stinkers. I think
but
there's
wait,
a lot
in fairness,
of people
though,
looking a different way.
At Houston, at Minnesota, he didn't do that bad. And in fairness, at Washington, okay, 18 points. Before that, Rams, 28 points. You got a game against the toughest defense in the league, Philly, 20. And then here's a weird one. At Chicago, only 10 points. At Green Bay, 30. So, and the Lions always play the Packers tough, by the way. It's crazy how that happens. But so you never know. He's a classic hit or miss guy. Wish he was a little cheaper. Like, his salary range is really close to other players that are good. And, you know, so –
Let me ask you this, because this is a guy that we're probably not on right now is Jones Jr. Do you feel that if Stafford's having an above-average day, that Jones Jr. is with him? Because do we see – well, I guess you've got Riddick and Tate, so he can do it without it. But, I mean, is that the missing cog to the link for him to have a huge day? Does Jones Jr. have to have a huge day too?
No, because, I mean, he could throw it to Riddick and have him score touchdowns. He can throw it to Tate. I don't know what's going on with Marvin Jones Jr. They've lowered his target numbers week and after week after week after week. You know, he started off 11-10, 8-7,
he's been an
5,
absolute
6, 7,
afterthought 5. For me for probably 5 weeks now.
Well, he hasn't done anything, and I don't know why. It seems like they've gone to a different sort of shorter pass. I think eventually Marvin Jones Jr. is going to have another massive game. And, you know, so he's more of a GPP situation for me.
Sure.
Like, you know, he'll have that big game, then everybody's going to be clamoring to pay for him the next week. So you don't know when that's coming, but it could be this week. Why not?
Well, tell me who you like the most. If it's Stafford's an okay. And
Riddick is my favorite play here. You know, Riddick's getting a lot of touches. He's getting 5 or 6 receptions per game as a lock. And, you know, I think he can do stuff with those. So for me, Riddick is the top play. You like Allen Robinson in garbage time. The Lions have not been good against the pass. If I had to choose one of the two wide receivers, I'm leaning Golden Tate. Right now, he's just been doing more and been targeted a lot more than Marvin Jones lately. And it seems like maybe they're just going back to featuring Tate. I mean, last week he had 12 targets, 11 receptions. The week before that, 9 targets. Before that, 12 targets, 10 targets. So ever since the last week 6, so the last 4 games, this guy's averaging 10.5 targets per game. Whereas the first beginning of this season, he was more averaging like 7 per game. Even 6.5.
Well, it was kind of – my point was we were talking T.Y. and Moncrief, and we were talking Cooper and Crabtree and whatever, and this isn't of the same ilk, obviously, but it's kind of set up that same way where Tate's a possession guy and Jones Jr.'s the get-deep dude. And
yeah, they just haven't been hitting Jones Jr., though. So, I mean, like, he'll have that breakout game, though, and he'll come out of nowhere. And so if you're in a GPP this week, you want a potential 2-touchdown guy – that's going to be, you know, under 5% owned, that's Marvin Jones Jr. And if he does it, you're going to be one of the very, very few people that have him in your lineup. So, you know, that's a cool thing for GPPs for sure. And, you know, it makes me think that I'll probably get exposure to him at that rate of like 5%.
Oh, yeah. There's no way in hell I would do it in my cash stuff.
No, and not in a hybrid. But when I enter, if I'm going to mass multi-enter, he's a guy that you'll want like – you know, if you're using the domination station to like create 150 lineups to enter, you know, he's a guy that I'd set for 5 to 10% exposure on.
There you go.
All right. Yeah, that's it for that one though. Cool. That is not, and then, we have a few duds to get through before we get to some more exciting games.
Yeah. So let's start with dud number 1, Tampa Bay at Kansas City. Kansas City is 7.5-point favorite, which screams all the Spencer Ware, but we'll ask you what you think about that. The game total's 44.5, which is pretty lame. I know that when you see big favorites like that at home, and I'm a big outdoor stadium guy to kind of check a box with as well. It's looking like a Kansas City defense sort of weekend.
Yeah, I love the Chiefs defense at home almost all the time. The Bucs are kind of turnover prone. They're a one-trick pony team. I'm going to be using Chiefs defense here. As far as like offensively, no, I'm not going to use players from Tampa at the Chiefs. It doesn't make sense to me to stack Winston with Mike Evans here. No one really does well at the Chiefs, so it feels like a bad risk for the most expensive salaried player on the board or one of the most expensive ones this week. I'm also not super high on Spencer Ware just because the way KC plays, if they're playing well on defense, mm-hmm. again, two things happen. Like, if they're playing well on defense, they're just going to shut it down. They're going to kick those field goals. I like the field goal kicker for Kansas City.
There we go. Steal a little bit of Aaron's magic.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know the guy's name, but I like the kicker.
Aaron. The guy's name is Aaron.
Not Aaron. No, the kicker, man. Not.
So I'm just messing with you, man. That's all.
Cairo Santos. Cairo Santos. I know his name. I like the kicker. I like Kansas City defense. I'm not super high on Ware because Tampa is a funnel off a defense. They're really good against the run, and they tend to funnel teams to pass against them. You know, some people are going to use Tyreek Hill. We did really well with him as a punt last week, mm-hmm. 20 points, and he's usable again here as a punt. Some people want to use Travis Kelce, but meh. No thanks.
I don't like Travis Kelce with Alex Smith as a quarterback. The couple of games that I saw out of Nick Foles,
that Nick Foles
really
kind of
told – well, he is, but that told me something. Nick Foles was using Kelce.
Alex Smith won't throw if he doesn't have to.
And Alex Smith will not use Kelce, and it drove me absolutely bonkers. And the minute I saw that, I was like, it isn't an Andy Reid thing. It isn't a Kelce thing. It's a Alex Smith thing.
Yeah, Kelsey's a very talented player. Macklin's very talented. He's done shit.
I had to see those games to see that happen. Well, you know, Macklin had a couple of good games last year that made me think that, you know, but Alex Smith is never the kind of quarterback that's going to throw you back into a game when you're two touchdowns down. That's just you have to do what Kansas City does when they're successful, get out to an early lead, and then just pound, 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 clock control, ball control. And just do it. If they don't, they're just not coming back.
Avoid these guys. I've never rostered Alex Smith in DFS, and I never will. Avoid these teams. Avoid their offenses. If they take a lead, they don't continue to attack. So there's only one very specific game script where they're behind or it's this close game where they're throwing a lot. And it does happen. But, you know, it's like Denver. It's like a lot of these defensive teams. Minnesota. If they're ahead and they're playing by their script, they're just going to play ball control, slow it down, not score a lot of points fantasy-wise. None of your people are going to do well. They'll kick a field goal, they'll kick another field goal. Just like last week, they kicked a field goal after field goal after field goal. And you know, I think it was against the Bills. And, like, the opposing team, they have nothing they can do to stop it. Another field goal. The running back doesn't do well. You know, that week with Charcantre Quest was the free score and he didn't do anything. It's because they were just kicking field goals. Right. Like they were playing field position and kicking field goals. And the game was just going by with no fantasy points happening.
Is Andy Reid a former defensive coordinator?
I mean, I don't know what Andy Reid's deal is, but he
definitely
doubt
he was an offensive
coordinator.
Yeah. Because he thinks like Jeff frickin' Fisher, which is just –
I actually do think he's an offensive coach, but he has his philosophy. His philosophy is, you know, they play a slow game and they slow it. They run it. That's how the Chiefs have operated, and it's not going to change. That's what they do. That's who they are. It's what they do.
Let's put this one to bed since everybody else fell asleep on us talking about the freaking Chiefs and the Bucks today.
Yeah, the only play is Chiefs defense. You know, like, avoid the rest.
We'll move to Chicago at the New York Giants. Giants are 7-point favorites, which is a little not surprising, I guess, being at home versus Chicago. But anytime the Giants are a 7-point favorite, I kind of raises an eyebrow. 45.5-point total. I don't give two shits about this game, to be honest with you. I just don't.
I mean, the Giants are at home, so you always have to have Odell Beckham on the radar. But outside of that, Giants defense, Odell Beckham. Chicago lost Alshon Jeffrey for four games due to a performance-enhancing drug conviction or test. They're not going to have much going on offense this week. They're going to have to switch over to probably Cam Meredith and Eddie Royal as the primary wide receivers. Jay Cutler literally does not give a fuck about anything except banging the
I was just about to ask you if I could ruin that for everybody and read those three lines, because that's the quote of the Vegas lines The problem is we never know which version of Cutler we will see. More often than not, it's the I don't give a fuck version that would rather be home canoodling his super hot wife, Kristen Cavallari. And I can't say I blame him for that.
Dude, Kristen Cavallari is super hot.
Very well stated. We've shared her in Slack a few times. I've seen her. She is bona fide. She's on my laminated list of five, dude. My friend's laminated list of five. Yeah, she's on the list.
Laminated. That's serious business.
I have
yeah, she's right, super hot.
I promise you.
You know, that's what these girls, at a certain level of hotness, they jumble your mind. Like, you just don't care about anything. All Cutler's thinking about last week as he's getting sacked, as he's getting sacked again and again, is like, I don't give a fuck, dude. I'm going home. Kristen's going to be waiting for me. And I don't blame him. He's loaded. He's got a super hot wife. And, you know, like, all he does is
– life is good, man.
Yeah, he's, like, living large. He doesn't care. His teammates don't like him. No one likes him. And he doesn't give a shit. So, yeah, he'll come to play once in a while. But he'll also – Jay Cutler is the guy that twice over my recollection has caused people to lose fantasy football season-long fantasy football games by putting up negative scores.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you never think I need to sit my quarterback because I'm ahead by 2 points. But with Cutler, you got to sit him. Like, that dude can get sacked 10 times.
Swap him out. Yeah, replace him with nobody. I'll take the zero.
Yeah, can you take the zero here? Like,
just,
nah.
Don't give me the negative two. Just I'll take the zero.
I have won two times in fantasy football based on that happening, including once this year. I believe it was Chicago defense putting up a minus one or so against the Eagles. I actually won this year.
That's so brutal.
A contest, because Chicago defense, yeah, when they played the Eagles, they put up a minus.
That's so brutal.
That was awesome. Anyway, so yeah,
painful.
So basically, it's I like Giants defense here. Odell Beckham, if you want to use him,
he's yeah, anytime
core play for me though.
Anytime you see that 6-7 point home favorite, defenses are typically in play, especially when they face bad offenses.
Minnesota, Arizona. I'm going to just go this one real quick. It's a pick-em game. Since both of these teams play crazy good defense. All right. It's at Minnesota. The Cardinals haven't been playing well. They're fine, but not playing well, I would say. They're not fully sort of jiving right now, gelling. But they're not terrible. They're sort of just okay. They're a great team. So I'm not sure which defense to pick here. I mean, I like the home team because they're at home. I like Arizona because they're Arizona and Minnesota's offense sucks. You know, like, that's why it's a pick 'em game. I'm not picking anyone from this game as far as a fantasy player.
Yeah, there's no fantasy.
Why?
Gold. If there's ever a week to fade David Johnson, this is it.
I'm fading David Johnson. I'd rather play Le'Veon Bell all day, every day, and I'd rather play DeMarco Murray this week. So I'm fading David Johnson.
I mean, even though if Arizona's going to score, it's probably going to come through him, but geez.
He'll score. So what if he gets you 80 yards and a touchdown? That's not the game I need out of David Johnson at his price. Even if he gets you 100 yards and a touchdown, I'm not paying the most expensive for a running back get me 17 points or 20 points when I can probably find a guy in a GPP who will get me 20 points for half the salary. Now, I might have to use three different guys to find the one, which is the difference between GPP and a cash lineup where I don't mind throwing away the other two lineups on guys who didn't make it. But, you know, one guy at the $5,000 level, Carlos Hyde, you know, Theo Riddick, one of these guys is going to get that same score as David Johnson for half the price. So, no, not going to use him. He could have a big game, but it's not the kind of thing I'm going to do.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Yuck, skip it. Moving on to Buffalo at Cincinnati. Cincinnati's 3-point favorite at home. The game total on this one's a 47. You know what? For some reason, when I was looking through some of the value plays, and you know how I like to mismatch the salaries and then kind of go by the projections and see who is, you know, maybe ranked 10th in salary, but ranked 5th in projections or something like that. It creates value for me. Andy Dalton struck my eyes. I don't like him as a play. I was really interested why the projections threw that radar up for me, but I didn't look too much into it. Are you looking at anything too serious in this game? Well, Shady McCoy, he stands out.
He's on the road. It's not an exciting play for me. This game is not a game I'm going to be on heavily. There's just other games that I'm more interested in. So, you know, when that happens, I'm looking at this game like, oh, well, I don't know, Tyler Eifert, yeah, he'll be okay. Obviously, A.J. Green should be fine. Robert Woods. These will be all GPP-type plays. I like Robert Woods because the Bengals have been getting torched through the air, and, you know, he's been pretty good and he's cheap. But outside of, like, a value plays, none of these guys stands out. This isn't a great matchup across the board. Neither of these teams are very good on defense, by the way. It's not like they're good. But there's just other better games this week that I'm more excited by. So, you know, yeah, Tyler Eifert, Robert Woods, LeSean McCoy, they're all in play.
AJ at the Green. At the risk of overthinking this one, and I'm sure it's a tournament play only, if Robert Woods is going to have a good game with his legs and whatnot, isn't Tyrod in line to probably – he's going to be throwing to Woods if Woods is having a good game, but he's also going to be running, isn't he?
Yeah, I'm not using
him. So, I mean, if Woods has a big game, didn't Eifert get a – or didn't Tyrod get a few passing yards, maybe a touchdown or something in there too to add to his legs and probably running one in?
Remember this though. When you're playing a cheap guy like Woods, I don't need him to have a big day. I'm just looking for like a pretty good 20-point day, which won't translate to the quarterback doing a lot of damage. As opposed to if I'm playing Mike Evans – and in order for him to have a good day, he really needs like 2 touchdowns, 150 yards. And at that point, the quarterback has done pretty well. In the case of Woods, because he's cheaper, you don't need him to have this crazy day. All you need him, you know, he could have 8 receptions, 90 yards, and that's great.
That's why I just work here. I just ask the questions.
There we go.
You fire off the answers. I just ask the questions.
Yeah, again, it's more of a thing when I talk about the stack and the situations where you must stack, the must stack situation. Again, it's really important to understand that that is something that comes up when the wide receiver is a stud expensive player and the quarterback is a cheaper punt salary type quarterback. That's where you almost say, you know, what's the point of playing Mike Evans without. And then there are exceptions to that, too. If there's literally no one else on the passing offense for that team except for that one guy, then sometimes that even that elite wide receiver can make value without the quarterback having this great game. That requires certain situations where there's literally no one else on the team that's being thrown to. It's a rare situation, but that does come up. It kind of is the Mike Evans situation, actually, which is why that's not the best. But no, in that case, you know, Cameron Brate scores a touchdown here or there. There's other people. So no, normally, but it's possible for your wide receiver stud to have a great game and his quarterback to just have a meh game. But that's only if that wide receiver is the only person right. being thrown to the entire game, and that's pretty rare.
Well, that's almost what you're looking at. But let's do this. Let's take a quick break for everybody since we're running up on about 45 minutes here. First of all, thanks for being with us. Second of all, we're going to get you a little bit of information about joining our community, which you've heard us allude to a couple of times during the podcast with spreadsheets, with tools that we're researching with the optimizer that is put together. So let me get you a little bit of that information, then we'll come back and we'll start in with Baltimore and Dallas here in a couple of seconds. All right.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army Podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today using the coupon code podcast on DFSArmy.com to unlock 20% off your monthly subscription and get 2 free ebooks, as well as the secrets to unlocking a new level to your game.
All right, that ought to be a message for you guys to wake everybody up with that dude yelling at you. So let's jump back in here to a quick game. We were just talking about the Cincinnati and Buffalo game. Let's move down the slate just one notch to Baltimore at Dallas. Baltimore visits Dallas. Dallas 7-point home favorite, and there's a 45-point total there. And it's this one sets up for Zeke, but you don't have him on your list, buddy.
Nope. I mean, Zeke is the man. You know, he's always going to have good games. Baltimore brings the number one defense in the league to this game. Number one against the rush. Top ranked against the pass, but number one against the rush right now. So, you know, I play the numbers. Why are we analyzing games if I'm not playing the numbers? Yes, Zeke is at home. Yes, he is a monster. He is matchup proof. You can play him. But I'm not going to put him in my elite plays category because the matchup doesn't justify that. To me, this matchup should be slow. What I'm envisioning here, and when I think about this game, I'm looking at sort of a slow, low-scoring game, a lot of ball control, bunch of punts happening, not a lot of scoring going on, and, you know, squeaking out a 20-17 victory for the Cowboys. So I just don't think there's going to be enough scoring to justify paying top dollar salary for Zeke. Again, facing the number one, according to DVOA, rush defense in the league right now. So I just don't – plus, he's coming off that big game, so he'll be owned more maybe than he probably should.
Mm-hmm.
Baltimore's kind of weak against number one wide receivers, looking at, like, the stats on paper. So I'm maybe thinking also that Dez Bryant will get a couple of these touchdowns, or maybe they'll be forced to throw it a little more often to Dez as opposed to just – handing it to Zeke and letting him, you know, beast all over the Ravens.
And I'm assuming there's really nothing else there.
No, I mean, I like Steve Smith Sr. if he's cheap enough.
Is, you know, Dallas' defense in play at all? I mean, they're not like a great takeaway type defense, but they are at home and they're 7-point favorites, and it's just Flacco isn't that special this year.
Yeah, but Flacco's not an interception throw. I wouldn't use their defense here, but, you know, again, I'm not the best at choosing defenses. I think it's my Achilles heel in daily fantasy.
Dirt ass cheap on DraftKings too. I noticed they're like $2,600.
I mean, if you need to save money, they're a home team, and yeah, but there are better spots.
Gone myself so much to paying up for defenses to stay with more of the chalky defenses because, for me, the difference between, you know, 2,600 and 4,000 is $1,400, which that's significant. But usually what I'm looking at is a difference of about $600-$700. And that just, gosh, I mean, some weeks you leave that on the table almost. So, you know, whatever.
Much on the table because I'll always try upgrade that defense. Yeah, or I tend to upgrade the defense if I have some left over.
Absolutely.
Let's move on to a more exciting game.
You got it. More exciting game. Pittsburgh at Cleveland. Pittsburgh 8.5-point road favorites. Cleveland 49-point total, and just take that one away because I know the names we're going to mention, but you just fire them at everybody with a little reasoning behind it.
Yeah, I mean, so you have the Cleveland worst in the league defense across the board. Ben, Brown, Bell, of course. Eli Rogers is a nice cheap option to get some exposure to this game. He's the number two wide receiver. He had a big game last week. He had a big game the week before. He's going to have another big game this week. Sammy Coates is out or has busted finger. He's not playing. He's not even the number three wide receiver. Don't touch Sammy Coates. This is an easy one. You're just going to stack the shit out. Le'Veon Bell is the all-in play of the week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't – I'm going to try to have him in as many lineups as I can possibly fit him into. It's just too good of a matchup.
Finally got off the schneid last week, scored a couple touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, he hadn't been scoring, but he's still been putting up big numbers. And now he's scoring. He got a bunch of touchdowns. And that was just bullshit. Like, that will continue. Antonio Brown, you know, if Cleveland can make a game of this, which is why I like the game stack scenario here, if Cleveland can make a game of this, then there's going to be even more scoring. I love it when good teams are down early. Like, the best possible scenario is somehow Cleveland gets off to like a 14-0 lead in the first quarter by some like miraculous play. So for Cleveland, there's a few different ways to look. I'm not going for the quarterback, but Terrell Pryor is the obvious choice. He continues to do damage every single week. He's a special player. And Pittsburgh's really bad against wide receivers. You know, they're not a good defense just in general. They're worse against the pass, but they're not a good defense. They're nothing to fear. They're on the road. Cleveland's at home. Yes, Cleveland sucks. I get it. But it's not like their worst quality is their offense. They've been, you know, not that bad. Their worst quality is their defense. They've been not that bad on offense. Terrell Pryor, his price has come down dramatically on DraftKings in particular. He's down, you know, in the mid fives. He's getting 10 targets a game. You know, like last three games, he's averaged about 10 targets. It's volatile with him a little bit, but 13 targets, 12 targets, 10. You know, Coleman's back too. He's a consideration this week for a lot cheaper dollars. $4,700 on DraftKings, much cheaper, relatively speaking, on FanDuel. Coleman got 5 targets last week, and that was at Baltimore. A very, very good defense. Now they're at home, so I think they could do a little bit better offensively. One other thing to note in this game is that Hugh Jackson, the coach for the Browns, really made a deliberate statement about wanting to focus more on the running game and get Isaiah Crowell more involved and sort of stay with the run longer than they have been. So, you know, it brings Isaiah Crowell into the mix as this sort of punt, super cheap running back option that could wind up with a big run or two. He hasn't had many big games this season, and most of his scoring has come off of like broken plays, big runs. He's done it a few times, but you know, he's got a pretty high floor, and you know, for a guy that's what, $3,900 on FanDuel, on DraftKings, you know, he's put up 10. I mean, he hasn't been under 10 points in a while. He had 9 points last, 8.3, 10.7, 14.3, 16.9. Earlier in the season, he had 2 20-plus point games. So the guy has the ability, if they give him enough touches, if he gets that 20-touch level, he's going to get 15 fantasy points for you. And at 3,900 for you, 12-16, I mean, that's right there. That's right what we need about tournament value. And he can get you to 20, 22, 25, like, I don't mind, you know, if he gets that big run and scores a touchdown and that's some of the scoring that Cleveland does, great. I mean, let's stack it up on both sides.
Now he frightens me when the coaches say that stuff now because of what Doug Peterson said and what Arians said last week about how they were going to get their guys more involved. And, you know, J.J. Nelson's a starter now, and, well, we saw how that worked out. And
well, Nelson was dropping passes. You know what? He had a chance. The guy was dropping passes. You can't – the talent –
I've fallen Peterson's for the been whole lying Darren about that Sproles shit all things. Year. He's been lying about Darren Sproles too much.
He's been saying that all year. Well, Matthew's our guy. All right, well, I guess Sproles is our guy. And what we're learning is, listen, he's just going to play it how he wants to play it. Matthews is going to get it in certain situations. Sproles, and there's going to be no rhyme or reason. They're going to screw all of us every single time. When we zig, they're going to zig.
Until when he says Sproles is his guy, we go Matthews.
Yeah, I mean, when he says zig, we zag. When he says zag, we zig. And it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough every single week to figure out what they're going to do.
You
want to
believe those damn coaches, but jeez Louise.
Man, I benched Ryan Matthews on teams, and I lost because of it on season long. So that sucked. Yeah.
Well, that one kind of takes care of the Browns and the Steelers. I know this is one you're going to want to spend like 10 minutes on. Miami at L.A., LA is a 1-point favorite, and it's a 40.5 total. I mean, what can we say about this crap?
Nothing. I mean, they're starting Goff, so the he was horrible in the preseason. So I guess Miami defense is in play here.
Sure, but I'm using tournaments and such.
But I could see using the Rams defense as a contrarian play. I mean, it's the Rams.
A lot of people
home.
Think that a guy's first start, he's just going to go coughing up stuff. I would say in a guy's first start, especially in a Fisher offense, it's going to be a lot of ball control, a lot of hand the ball to Gurley. Not that that's going to do well, but there's going to be a lot of really short pass. I don't see them really airing it out, even if they're catching up for Goff to throw a bunch of picks.
Yeah,
I mean,
I'm not in love with it.
You
I
might,
mean, even,
but I just
by the
don't
way,
see them having opportunity on defense to take the ball away that much.
No, I mean, think of this. Maybe the play in this game, and again, this is all GPP sort of craziness, is maybe the play here is actually Gurley because they're mm-hmm. starting the rookie. He has some run ability. Mm-hmm. And they're going to try to protect him by just hammering the run with Gurley. Now,
sure.
Miami's defense isn't special in any way. And, you know, if LA is playing, if the Rams are playing quality defense in this game, and you know Tannehill and the Dolphins can put up a stinker at any time, especially coming off, didn't they just play on the West Coast last week? So either they stayed there or they've been back and forth a couple times. Either way, it's a weird situation for them. So, you know, I could see doing a little contrarian sort of just like in one lineup where you go Rams, Gurley, just to take a shot at what happens if, you know, it's like a dominant defensive performance. They hand it off to Gurley a lot. He has a nice game. I mean, it's very unlikely, but, you know, why not? Why not take a shot? It's a GPP. You never know.
How many people out there do you think would guess that Todd Gurley is ranked sixth in the league in red zone attempts?
I mean, I wouldn't be on that list. I had no idea that that's the case.
That's pretty high up there.
He's
for,
not very
you know,
good.
For a,
I mean,
no,
is he ranked
not.
Last
he's,
at converting them? Because he's not scoring touchdowns.
Yeah, he's got what? He's got three touchdowns out of 27 attempts. But that's more of an indictment on the Rams as a team. If his price is low enough at $5,000 on DraftKings –
That's not that low. I mean, you know, the problem with that price is
he's
I mean,
not factoring the passing game's his issue.
Last week they're playing the Jets, right? All right, let's throw that game out the window. Jets are good at stopping the run, although they haven't been that great. 21 attempts, so 61 yards. He gets the attempts. Week before he's playing, they're playing the Panthers. See, this is what's disturbing. What the hell are the Rams doing? You know, 12 carries against the Panthers, but. Here's what's interesting, and I didn't even notice this. I haven't really been looking at Gurley that closely, and this is making me more interested now that I'm looking at it. You know, Carolina did four receptions, five targets. Giants, six receptions, seven targets. Detroit, four targets. Like, Gurley, five targets. Gurley was supposed to be this guy that doesn't get targeted. He's just a runner. But you know what?
You know,
this is interesting. I mean, seven receptions, five, six. He does get some work. Tampa had 27 rushes. I mean, again, he's not putting up yards per carry. But the workload
is there. I might
have
to look into it a little bit, but I think that I think Benny Cunningham is his backup still, and I think Benny got hurt this week.
Benny Sizzles. Let's see.
And the only reason that I mentioned that is Benny's supposedly the passing down guy.
Not that
Gurley's not a three-down back, don't get me wrong, but if they're going to spell him and put in somebody to take a little bit of the passing load, it was Benny. Now they don't have that necessarily. So, again, maybe a little bit of increased action for him. I am not advocating Gurley, don't get me wrong.
I mean, but it is pretty annoying that they bring in Benny Cunningham. Cunningham's been pretty much as good as Gurley this season as far as fantasy point scoring, which is ridiculous.
Which is frightening.
Yeah, I mean, those games when he got the 5-6 – receptions like Cunningham last couple games, five targets, six targets. Before that, pretty much nothing. So I don't know. They did the last
you
couple
early games. six or seven targets and about 30-40 yards on the ground. That's 10 points right there.
Yeah.
On DraftKings, that's an okay floor to work with. If he does happen to carry the rock 20 to 25 times, get you another 50 to 60 yards. I mean, with his yards per carry. If he gets
he
lucky,
he
can break one. There's no doubt. He's got runaway speed. He can get through a hole and go 80 yards to the house. He's not getting that chance.
He
not very often anyway.
Not this year, but they've had some tough matchups again at the Jets, mm-hmm. Carolina, Giants. You know, Arizona, Tampa, very good. Seattle. These are, I mean, this guy has been facing very, very good defensive. By the way, going into the season, if you look at my season notes, and I don't want to pat myself on the back for telling people to avoid Gurley again.
You and me both.
But I was very specific about why. I said, this guy is going to be playing at Seattle. He's going to be going and facing Arizona twice. He's going to be playing Seattle twice. He's going to be playing killer run defenses on a week-in and week-out basis. They played the AFC East, so you know they're going to play the Jets where you don't run well.
Jets, Patriots that are just going to take him out of the game.
I mean, AFC East is tough defensively. Or maybe they're in the North. But the point was, you know, I knew this guy has a tough time. At one point, San Francisco was a tough defense, although not anymore. So anyway, now that we've talked about it, I could see punting. I could see you could do worse than punting with Todd Gurley.
And that's all I wanted to bring up. Was it? I mean, he's a punt play. His price is low enough now that it's not the worst thing to roll the dice on.
Or GPP,
GPP type tournament.
Yeah, am I using him if I'm making five lineups this week? No.
I'll use Darren Sproles again before I use him, but anyway, in cash games. But anyway, I'm not using him in either one.
Don't use Sproles.
I'm not using either one in either one. Let's go to the
highest projection that I've seen ever.
New England minus 13 at San Francisco, 51.5 points. Now, I'm disappointed in LeGarrette Blount's last week. With the three touchdowns that he scored, it really just pisses me off because if he'd have had a turd of a game, his ownership would be a little bit lower. I think that his ownership's going to be pretty high this week, and it's correct. But I think that it's going to be by guys chasing points. They're going to do it wrong, but they're going to land on the right pick.
You hate when that happens. But, I mean, Blount is now up to 6,400 on DraftKings. Okay. That's up
I'm not
from
playing him there.
I just want to tell you, last week on DraftKings he was 4,900. So that is a $1,500 jump. That's very intense. So I mean, to me, he's almost unplayable. Even though this is pretty much the best matchup he's going to have all year.
Sure it
is. He's unplayable almost there because of the salary. 6,400 is crazy. It's not that far away from Le'Veon Bell or DeMarco Murray, and those guys don't need a game script to go in their favor to put up a big number. This game script looks like it will, I mean, definitely be in Blount's favor. Blount's going to have a good game. He's going to have a good game because at some point they're going to just be running it. They're going to be up so big on San Francisco. Brady's angry. He's pissed. They fucked up last week in a major way, getting cued at the end zone. They deserve it for getting cued in the end zone. They didn't get the call, which they should have on Gronk, but it never should have come down to a fourth down play. I don't want to even rehash it because I was pissed. All the games were going so well, and then that one had a chance for overtime, and they just blew it. So, but it was all LeGarrette Blount last week. Everybody's going to be on him. That is annoying. It feels like chasing points. The same thing with Delanie Walker. Now he's in a better situation.
It feels like chasing points, but like I said, a lot of people are going to chase those points and wind up on the right pick on accident by doing it the kind of the wrong way, just by, you know, going with the hot hand. But, oh, I mean, I'm looking at it right now, though. 6,400 on DraftKings, I know, is high. But Ajay is 6,800. I'd probably rather have Blount. Shady McCoy is 6,900.
Yeah, I might play Blount. I got to go all the way up. The worst run defense in the league. And just it's the Patriots, and you can't just load the box up on them, or they will tear you up through the air. So
you remember what those guys – what the games that San Francisco's given up, right? Like Shady McCoy, 160 and two touchdowns or whatever the hell it was. There's a lot of those 130, 150 rushing yards and two touchdowns to running backs going, you know, on the resume of the San Francisco defense. I mean, for 6,400, that's DraftKings scoring. 7,300 on, you know
– relatively cheaper.
He gets you 22
much
points.
Better deal. He's sure, a better deal on FanDuel.
He gets you 22 points on FanDuel with two scores and 85 yards or something. So,
Let me talk about the rest of this game here a little bit.
Yeah,
please
do.
There's so much good stuff going on. So, obviously, LeGarrette Blount is a very strong play. Martellus Bennett replacing the injured Rob Gronkowski.
He might score two touchdowns or three touchdowns. You don't know with Belichick.
I mean, they're going to throw to the tight end. They don't have a lot of other players. Chris Hogan's kind of hurt a little bit, a little gimpy out there. I like Julian Edelman here. Edelman sort of started to heat up last week. I played him. He's underpriced, especially on FanDuel, but in general, he's just underpriced right now. He hasn't seen less than seven targets in I don't know how long. So certainly since Brady's been back. So there's a lot to go around in this game. If the Patriots are going to score 32.25 points, which is what this projection says they're going to score, that's 7-4, 35. I mean, 4.5 touchdowns. That's 4 touchdowns to go around. Now, who's getting them? Well, Blunt might get 2.
He's getting all 4.
Maybe Bennett gets one, and maybe they give one mercifully to Edelman, let him break that touchdown drought. But a lot of touchdowns are going to be scored in this game, so we want a lot of exposure to the Patriots players and catch those guys who get those tutties. The other guy, the only guy on San Francisco I'm really excited by, you know, another week I might look at some other players. I have 2 guys I like, one obvious and one super sleeper. The obvious one is Carlos Hyde. Mm-hmm. You know, he's going to get a lot of run. He's super cheap, underpriced, 4,900, underpriced on FanDuel, underpriced on DraftKings. He was hurt
for
a
while. Lots of workload.
They're going to work him like crazy. Mm-hmm. So and the Patriots aren't some special run defense. They're on the road. There's a home game. They're going to have to focus on Kaepernick. There's a lot of potential goodness for Carlos Hyde here. The other guy that I like, and this is really under the radar, is Quentin Patton.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now Quentin Patton was somebody I pointed out in the preseason as a sleeper. He looked like he was going to emerge as the number one wide receiver for the 49ers. But he gets hurt. He disappears for weeks and weeks and weeks. Hurt. I think he was on IR even. Comes back. Let's see what he's done in the last 2 games. Well, only 9 targets per game. Now, he hasn't done that much with them. He had a big day against New Orleans. 9 targets, 6 receptions, 106 yards. Got the bonus. Didn't get a touchdown. Now, and we have to understand, this guy's playing with Colin Kaepernick, who is a, I don't know, 50% completion percentage quarterback. So the upside is limited. But he's $3,000 on DraftKings right now. Last week, he gets another 9 targets. Doesn't do much with them. 3 receptions. Gets you 9 points. Well, darn, you know what? 9 points is 3 times 3,000. It's not that bad. Could be worse. Like, this is a pretty safe floor punt player. I mean, I want to look at his snap percentage, but if he's sort of falling back into that role as the most talented wide receiver on this team, and that's what it looked like he was going to be in the preseason and what they were slating him for, well, maybe this is the spot. Now, Jeremy Curley is a name that you hear a lot, and he's also gotten a bunch of targets, but not as many. 7, 6, and 5, and 7 in the last 4 games. So he's averaging 6 targets per game. Great. Probably a safer bet, but what's he done with them? Not a whole lot. At least the other guys, recently anyway, he did some damage earlier in the season, but with Kaepernick, he hasn't done a whole lot. He had a nice game last week, got the touchdown. So I'll give him that. So, you know, you have Curley. I think people will be on Curley a little bit in game stacks. I don't think people will be on Quentin Patton at all. So that's this, like, sub 1% play that could do well at $3,000 this week. Just a little sleeper. He's not going to be someone I'm going crazy for, but, you know, if I need to put the cheapest guy I can find in the flex and I need to get a $3,000 player in there, why not give it a shot with Quentin Patton in the high scoring game where, you know, the 49ers are going to be playing catch up. They're going to have to throw a lot.
Mm-hmm. I can see it. I mean, for that cheap,
they're going to be down in the game. I mean, I can promise you this. They will be down in this game, like, and throwing, you know, and will they do anything with the throw? I don't know, but they're going to be down and throwing.
You don't see nearly 2 point or 2 touchdown spreads in the NFL very often.
It happens, You rarely see it in a game with a 51 point total. And that's the part that's got me interested. Wow. That's a high total. And that's a road 13 point favorite.
Right.
And that's a game, you know, San Francisco at home, they're going to play hard. You know, that San Francisco, that's where they love, you know, those knee takers. They love Colin over there. love that shit in San Francisco. They eat it up, man. They're out.
Hashtag political.
Yeah, I mean, they do. They love it there. Good. Good for them. So, you know, they love this guy. So he's going to play tough at home in front of a friendly home crowd. Or maybe he plays better at angry crowds. I don't know.
A tolerant home crowd.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he plays better in front of angrier crowds.
Well, who knows? Maybe we'll figure it out.
We'll see this weekend.
Let's move to Philadelphia at Seattle. Seattle is a 6.5-point favorite at home. In any other week, I'd probably like Seattle's defense, but there's a 45-point total on this game, and we've got other defenses to worry about.
Usable, though, because the Philly offense has not been anything special.
They'll be lower owned than some of the other defenses, too. They'll slide under the radar a little bit.
Totally usable.
No, absolutely usable. But like I said, I'd like them more in other weeks. There's not a lot that's caught my eye here. I know you probably will pick some things out and throw them out there.
Not really. No, unfortunately, the Seattle game is, you know, outside of like, I don't know, do you want to play Seattle defense? Do you want to take a shot with CJ Procise? There's not a whole lot to like here. I mean, Philly's the number one defense. Seattle's the number four defense. We already talked about the other game with high-ranked defenses with Minnesota and Arizona. This feels the same to me. Philly's good. Number one
I'm glad
overall.
To see it the same.
I didn't even – yeah, it's a complete fade. No need to play it. Again, Seattle, and I love, you know, Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson's super cheap here. The only thing I could – if you needed to play Russell Wilson just because he's been hot lately and he's ridiculously priced low compared to anybody else, then that's fine. As a salary-saving sort of contrarian – sure, but I don't know. I mean, Green Bay's playing at Washington this week. You have, you know, the Colts and the Titans in a 50-point game. You have the Patriots projected for 33 points. You have Pittsburgh playing at Cleveland, two teams that literally don't even bother to play defense at all. So why would I get excited about using players from a game like this? It just doesn't make any sense to me when it's the two top defenses or two of the top five defenses in the league taking each other on. Screw that game. I mean, if we want to talk about like interesting things here, yeah, again, it's the whole Christine Michael's gone and Procise. We can sit here and debate whether Sproles or Ryan Matthews is going to be the lead back. Who gives a shit? I mean, they're at Seattle. They're not going to do well. I like Seattle defense here. I don't think the Eagles are going to play well offensively.
Well, there you go. We can do the Sunday night game. You know what? I didn't see a chalk alert game in there.
I mean, there's a few. You have to really think that I think the chalk game to me is the Colts Titans game. But this last one holds some interest too.
Yeah, the Sunday night hammer. For the main slate anyway, it's Green Bay at Washington with Washington favored at home by 2.5 and another 50-point total. This one's a little higher, 50.5. I mean, who's counting?
There is a sneaky way here. There are some sneaky things to do with this game. But, yeah, big total.
Yeah, well, fire it up. Let's talk sneaky.
So I don't think people are going to be on Washington. The Washington.
Oh, I'm going to be on Kirk Cousins.
There you go. I mean – I don't think people will be on that. I think that would be a low-owned play. But, you know,
quarterback, 300 yards, almost 400 yard potential going against a defense that's been torched against the wide receivers. This year in the hammer game on the main slate, when I can sit back and still be 20, 25 points out of the money and feel good about still hitting the cash line, I love it.
Now, there are other great plays this week, but Kirk Cousins is very interesting, super cheap, at home. Been putting up good numbers week after week. He gets a Packers defense that hasn't been good. But more importantly with the Packers is they play a style that either moves the ball quickly down the field or gives it up. They're not running the ball and having these 9-minute long drives. They're not capable of it. They're not set up to do it. So what ends up happening with the Packers is they're either flying up and down the field
or
scoring
punting.
A quick touchdown, or they're punting fast. So what does that mean? Well, the offense gets a lot of extra opportunities there at home. So I you know, who to play? Obviously, the names are Jay Crowder, Jordan Reed, and Pierre Garçon. I think DeSean Jackson's coming back. I'm not going to play a speedster coming off leg injuries. That's just not how I roll. So DeSean Jackson's kind of off my radar this week. I'm not going to use him. But and if he was healthy, I might consider him. But not you know, questionable.
No, it's Jay Crowder. I will have a hybrid / cash stack of Kirk Cousins and Jay Crowder rolling out this week for sure.
There you go. And on the other side of the ball, one of the interesting plays this week is going to be Starks. Like, Starks has pretty much stepped in, and he's now the primary running back for this team. Montgomery's sort of going to spell him, but I think Starks is the main guy. He's super cheap. I'd say super cheap a lot, but you know what? The guy's super cheap.
You're just telling it like it is.
Yeah. He's low price. We don't have a lot of great low price plays. $4,200 on FanDuel. Last week, he gets work in the pass game. He doesn't do much. Starks, you know, but we've seen big games out of this guy in ever. Not recently, but, you know, in his career. And I don't think this is going to be a great game for him because Washington's pretty good against the run. But, you know, he's worth a shot. I mean, they're not going to throw – there's not any other running backs. Don Jackson is on the IR now. He's gone. They just picked up Christine Michael as an emergency backup plan. Christine Michael is a moron. If you play Christine Michael this week, you're also a moron. If he was playable and you played him, that would make you a moron. Don't do that. So he's not going to play. He's just there as a backup. Situation. But, you know, Rodgers is going to be throwing a lot too, so I like the Packers side here. You have to be aware of the Josh Norman effect. You know, he's probably going to be put on Jordy. That doesn't mean Jordy Nelson's not going to do anything. Jordy Nelson can beat Josh Norman. But it certainly means that a few extra targets might go Devontae Adams' way, and fine
That's
by me.
That's exactly Adams right.
Beasting week after week. Adams will be very popular. Very popular play. He's now to the point where he's crazy expensive across the board. So, you know, the Devontae Adams train, the all-in every single week train that I've been riding for the last, like, 4 weeks or so on Adams, ever since we had that Bahama night sort of last-minute swap-in on the Monday Night Football game. You know, I've been on the Adams train ever since, and I'm still on it, but it's not an all-in play anymore. You know, now it's more of a game stack situation. I'll play him a lot, though. I mean, in this
case,
that's
who I would – that's who I'd ping pong, you know, with if I had the Cousins and Crowder stack. I'd probably grab some Devontae Adams and
put
him on the
other
side.
That's what I'm saying. You want to get both sides of that game. So, you know, and Jordy Nelson's fine, too. Adams and Nelson are similar in price on FanDuel. Adams is a bit better priced on DraftKings.
Well, if I was stacking it up in a GPP, I'd take Jordy Nelson because everybody's going to be afraid of Josh Norman.
That's the whole thing. So Nelson is also playable. But that's it. I mean, I'm not into Cobb. Ever since he's got the hamstring injury, he hasn't been the same. He might catch a touchdown, but he's not doing what he was doing before. So, you know, I'm not going to be all over him. And the other consideration in this particular game, sad to say, is, and it makes me nauseous almost to say it, is Pierre Garçon. Garçon is a possession guy.
I won't.
He's cheap.
He's DraftKings guy.
Well, DraftKings only for sure. But last week, 10 targets. The week before, 7. He doesn't do much with the targets. I get it. But it's a lot of targets. He's not going to give you a big game. The upside isn't there. And he's not a guy you want a lot of exposure to. But, you know, he's an acceptable player to use. Not an exciting player, but an acceptable player. And
at $3,900 on DraftKings, I can see it.
Yeah, I'm not saying FanDuel. FanDuel's touchdown dependent. On FanDuel, we need touchdown scorers. I mean, Jay Crowder, though, if you look at him, yeah, he gets the red zone targets. But it's not like – yeah, I mean, he gets a little more. I mean, at Cincinnati, he had 13 targets. At Detroit, he had 9. Last week, Minnesota, tough matchup, 6 targets, still brought value.
Has he missed a week or two? Because he's got 63 targets. Garçon has 65.
No, Garçon is targeted more. You know, Jay Crowder, recently, even 3 and 4 target games. Like, he put up decent numbers, but he wasn't doing it on a lot of volume. And he's still not a high volume guy. So he's a risky player. I mean, I hope people don't think that Jay Crowder is this sort of safe Michael Thomas style play. He's not. He's riskier than that. He has very, very shitty weeks. Or he's gotten lucky a couple weeks with some touchdowns that saved what elsewise would have been 3 and 4 point games. Like, he's very touchdown dependent. And you gotta like Jordan Reed. I mean, what's not to like? 13 targets, 11 targets, 10 targets.
You know, I like paying targets, down. I like paying down at tight end when I can, because it's a cash move.
Let me just ask you a question, because I want to talk about that. You like pay down? Me too, by the way. What wide receiver is available at 5,900 this week that has 13 target, 10 reception, or that has a floor of 10 targets, probably 7 receptions, 15 points, floor, with a ceiling closer to 30? Like, who are you putting in your flex when you're looking? If you have 5,900 left for the flex, go to flex right now on DraftKings. I'm going to look right now. 5,900. Let's look at all the games. I'm at 5,900 on DraftKings. I have that much left. Here are my choices. Jordan Howard. That's a technical term, means he sucks. Steve Smith Sr. can't afford him. He's $6,000. Spencer Ware, 6,000. Okay. Possibility. Just underneath him, Doug Baldwin, tough matchup. Terrell Pryor.
I might. I don't want to leave that much money on the table, but I would put Theo Riddick in the flex.
I mean, now you're going all the way down. You already have Theo Riddick in your running back spot. You know what I mean?
You're leaving a ton on the table if you've got 5,900 in your flex.
Yeah, I'm talking 5,900. Theo Riddick is 5,100. But you get the idea. Like, Theo Riddick's ceiling, is it really that different from Jordan
I'm Reed? I'm wondering what scenario I would end up in. No, I do too. I'm trying to think of what scenario I would be in that would land me at that 5,900 price point that would make me actually. It's not that I hate Jordan Reed. Don't get me wrong.
It's just the point. Like, he is worth.
Would you leave $200 on the table and just grab Delanie Walker?
Delanie Walker's already rolling in my tight end spot in this particular lineup, so I need a second guy. But yes, I like Delanie Walker a little better.
Because I'm thinking that if I was running those two, I would have Martellus Bennett in one of them.
The way I have to do it, the way I roll out lineups, is I'm not going to go all in on just one guy. So, you know, yeah.
Nor am I.
Like, I might set these guys up and say, all right, I want 35% exposure. I'm going to have a much, much smaller array of tight ends this week than I had in the last couple weeks. We'll have probably 35% Delanie Walker, 35% Jordan Reed, and 55% Martellus Bennett, or something like that.
How much of that's because you're doubling up on them in the flex?
Yeah, I can do it because I'm going to double down. Because
that tends to boost your percentage. You know, I mean, you might normally
even
have
Tyler Eifert, by the way, at 5,400, assuming his questionable tag doesn't actually mean he's hurt, which, you know,
who knows with him?
Nothing you should assume, because he probably is hurt. But you know, yeah, there's a bunch of tight ends that are good this week, but this is one of those rare times when I feel like, yeah, I might throw one in the flex also. So
well,
I
that's because you're looking at that price point, and it puts you right on the tight ends. It puts you in that black hole of very good tight ends that, while still a little bit fluky, are better, have more ceiling than the other turds sitting around them.
Yeah, I mean, in order to get a position player I want, I have to get up to, at that point, Julian Edelman, LeGarrette Blount, Davante Adams. That's more of the high or mid sixes. So whereas I love those guys, and if I have the 6,400, I'm going to choose Blount, or if I have the 67, I'll go with Adams. If I have the 63, I might go with Julian Edelman. But I'm not so sure. Is Julian Edelman really somebody I like more than Jordan Reed? I don't know about that. What about Dante Moncrief?
Not this week. Not this week.
Yeah, I mean, I think I like Reed better than Moncrief and Edelman, and he's cheaper. So, you know, this is sort of the stuff that I'm looking at. Like, you know, we have one of our guys, Hunter, and another guy is doing their Bahama qualifiers this week. You know, finishing the top 50 out of 180. And the way I would approach that contest is I'm going safe, but not with upside safe. I want big play potential, but I'm not rolling the dice with crazy players that, you know, might have a huge game 1 week and then
all you got to do is hit a triple up. That's all you got to do.
Like in that kind of lineup, I'm not using Randall Cobb. Randall Cobb, he'll get you a 20 1 week, but he'll also put up a 6 and a 9. So I'm not using him. Like, I'd rather have someone else. I want those guys who are consistent. I want those guys who are going to get me a floor of 15 points in every spot in my lineup. And then I want upside. But if you don't get me my 15, you're probably taking me out of the top 50.
No, you want to build a hybrid type lineup.
Absolutely. But to
win that, you don't want to be too safe with a cash lineup that has no upside in it, but you don't want to take GPP only type guys that can give you a freaking goose egg either.
Exactly.
You know,
you have to have the balls to do a couple things here or there.
Sure.
But
one running back with that defense, throw a stack with a quarterback and wide receiver in there, maybe throw the other wide receiver in there, but not much. I mean,
there we go.
You don't need to go crazy and like just take the Indianapolis New England games and just load it. You just don't need to do that. You could spread out still.
I'd be fine with doing that and stacking up the, you know, but I'm sure we'll be talking about a lot of that in Slack. Let's move on to the last game.
You got it. You might want to spend a little bit more time on this. I know we're going up against.
Oh, my gosh. No, I totally forgot the other side of this game. Hang on. You're right. We just talked about the Redskins, right? Did I mention Aaron Rodgers?
You mentioned Jared. Yeah, you mentioned he's going to be throwing. You mentioned Jordy. You mentioned Devontae. We got him.
Oh, so we did it. Okay, yeah. And I love Aaron Rodgers here also. So Rodgers, Nelson, Adams. I don't like Cobb as much. James Starks, playable. Ty Montgomery, absolutely not. Richard Rodgers, absolutely not. So, you know, yeah, Kirk Cousins is playable too.
Awesome. Now we're going down to Mexico City. Put the sombreros on. Houston, it's a neutral, obviously, site. So Oakland's favored by 6, and it's a 46-point total. I'm not super excited about this game.
One of the nice things about DraftKings and FanDuel is they've eliminated the Monday night game from the main slate. So I don't have to really worry about this game too much if you don't want to.
Yeah, I don't want to. I'm going to go play basketball with the boys on Monday. I won't be watching football.
I will be watching football. I can promise you that. But there's not much going on in this particular game. Houston's pretty good defensively. They're very good at against the pass. Oakland is good at passing. Something's got to give. You know, I expect Oakland to win this game because they're a better team and Houston sucks and they'll win. But I see it playing out very similar to the way the game against Denver played out. You know, not a lot of passing. It might be a Lats Murray sort of special.
I don't mind him.
He's not in love.
Not a cash type of play. I wouldn't mind him as a low-owned, you know, tournament type play. You know, I mean, it's just the dude has a knack for finding the end zone this year and just putting up okay games, not Gordon-esque games, but he's weird. And he's going to be low-owned. He's still relatively cheap. He's in that committee, everybody thinks, but he's kind of the lead guy. He's just not getting everything. So it's just – it's odd. I can see him, you know, doing significant damage in the game.
He can have a good game. Houston, again, is better against the pass than the run. Now, the most important thing to remember is Houston sucks on offense really bad. So the Raiders' defense is usable here. I mean, some people might think, you know, the Raiders suck on defense and maybe we should use Lamar Miller here. Okay. I doubt I would do that, but you know, if I'm playing the Monday slate, by the way, you know, here's the thing. We're going to play the primetime. And so you do have to think about this game. Like, I'll play the primetime slate. And then I'm like, well, who do I want? I pretty much just want to focus on the Sunday night game and ignore the Monday night game. That's what I would want to do.
That's what everybody else is going to want to do, too.
I think that's what everybody will do, but it's for good reason. It's so much better on Sunday than this one. So, I mean, we've been making money all season long, stacking Carr with Cooper. I still like Cooper. I always like Cooper. I don't like Carr as much, but I always like Cooper. You know, he's usable. low ownership. This is more GPP stuff. I don't really like to talk about GPP stuff too much because I don't want to feel like I'm recommending, you know, plays that I don't like. I like to go with the big number games. There's enough of them this week that a couple will produce awesome games. Last week we saw the potential of a close game. We saw, what, three or four games where the lead went back and forth five, six, seven times. It was crazy. That is last week was a dream fantasy football scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Games, back and forth games, you know, even with the Packers where I was loaded up on Rodgers stacks and they go down by 21 early, everybody's sitting there crying, and I'm like, dude, I love it. Because what's going to happen now? The Packers don't lose 21-0. They're going to start throwing it, slinging it, and they're going to make a comeback. And they might not win, but they're going to produce a lot of fantasy points, which they did, and it was great. I never mind my studly teams going down early. I don't like it when my shitty team goes down early because then they go into I don't give a fuck mode and shut it down, like the Bears. They go down early, they're finished. They don't even bother. But a team like the Packers, they're playing to win. They're a good team. So even when they're down early, they're like, no, we're going to come back from this. And so all of a sudden you get a fantasy points bonanza. And we saw that in a bunch of different games. I loved it. I mean, the Steelers game, the back and forth in that game was insane.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That was crazy. And Ezekiel Elliott, 70-yard check down, touchdown. Are you kidding? Like, how much points was that? Like, if you're trying to win a contest, you had Elliott and you have Dak, and it ends on a check down, 70-yard touchdown to Zeke, you're, like, losing your mind. That's what makes this stuff fun. I love it. So, I mean, that is the gold of and you're not going to see that on this Monday night game. I'm sorry, but Houston sucks.
No, you're not.
You know, Brock Osweiler is the most overpaid disaster since Scott Mitchell. And people don't even know who the hell Scott Mitchell is.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Trust me, that was the last time that a Brock Osweiler scenario happened.
Us dust farters, we know.
I mean, do we even count Ryan Flynn? And what was that guy's name? Ryan Flynn? Matt Flynn? Who's the guy from the Packers who went to Seattle? Like, he had the one good game as the backup. Seattle signs for $36 million. Then they draft Russell Wilson. And they're like, yeah, we screwed up.
Yeah, they're
and
like, we're cutting
you. And now they lost a bunch of money doing that. Can you imagine? Like, we'll never see, you know, $10 million in our lives. And they lost like $10 million. It's like, man, oops.
Well, I guarantee you they looked at each other and said, you've got to do it.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, chalk it up.
Got to do it. Or we're going to lose $20 million at the gate because people are going to stop coming saying, you guys are stupid.
But the balls of making that move is really impressive because I wouldn't have the balls to do it. It's like selling a stock. You know, like I'm holding on. I'm like, fuck it, dude. I'm holding on to this thing. I'm gonna live and die with, you know, let me think of a stock that died, like, I don't know, Oil Drillers or something, you know, like – I'm going down with the ship. I'm going to own the horse cart manufacturing company.
When Henry Ford invents the assembly line or produces, you know, implements the assembly line. We're still going horse and buggy. Horse and buggy is the way of the future.
I'm stubbornly hanging on. Now they're talking about it's going to come back. Car. Those cars are just a fad. The shit's coming back. I'm not selling the shit now. I bought it at $50. It's at $30 now. What are you, nuts? I'm not taking that loss.
I love it. Cars, you know, are just a fad.
It's probably just a fad. Who's going to drive those crazy things? You know,
those are killing machines. We all know how to ride a horse.
That was a real thing. Like, I didn't even own the horse cart maker. I owned the company that provided the wooden spoked wheels for the horse carts. Like, now, dude, these things aren't going away anytime soon.
The car owner, me, drives by your next your neighbor or whatever and says, dude, that wagon wheel is going to be my coffee table one of these days.
Yeah. That's like rostering Brock Osweiler at this point.
Funny.
And DeMarco and DeAndre Hopkins.
That's like, too funny.
DeAndre Hopkins beasted under such names as Ryan Mallett and Brian Hoyer, like putting up 30 points a game. This year, I'm like, how much worse could Brock Osweiler be than those scrubs who aren't even NFL worthy, and he's worse than them. How the hell does he matter? The guy's 6'7". If I was 6'7", I feel like, yeah, I could throw you the football. He probably has a hand that's the size of two of my hands.
Yeah.
Dude, if your hand is that big, you should be able to throw with accuracy.
In the vicinity somewhere. Go get it, kid.
Do they not throw footballs at, like, a tire and get them through the hole? Like, what is the problem?
Oh, my God, dude. Now you're going way back. I used to do that. Me and my brother used to practice in the backyard doing that. We'd even swing the tire and try and hit it in motion, you know?
I'm guarantee you Brock Osweiler cannot hit that swinging tire in motion.
That's funny.
There's no way he's hitting that thing.
I'd like to see the old NFL ESPN challenges where the golf carts with the bullseyes on them, the chalk tip footballs for the guys that zip it at the bullseye and it hit and leave that little red mark or whatever on the bullseye.
Whatever happened to
badass drills.
Whatever happened to the old – I mean, I used to – the ESPN, like, QB punt pass whatever challenges they used to do.
Those were badass. Those were fun. Freaking one golf cart would go 40 yards down a sideline and they'd try and throw it into a trash can strapped to the back of the golf cart. I'm like, this is so cool, man.
And they would do it.
I would have fun doing that all day long. I'd be like, no, do it again. I'll try again. Do it again. I'll try again.
The best part was they'd have every team, like all the teams represented. So like, even if your team was shitty, like you could be like, oh yeah, I'm going to root. Oh, cool. You know, Chad Pennington's there. That's awesome.
We're starting this one at 25 yards. Alex Smith, just take your zero.
Yeah. 25 yards. Alex Smith's like, what the fuck, dude? I don't throw past 10.
I got 18 tops. That's downwind.
Alex Smith nails the 0 to 10 yard zone though. He's like, yeah, no, I'll crush this. who's the noodle arm? Can't throw far. Simeon, these guys all suck. Anyway,
we got it wrapped up.
Let's wrap this part up, guys. Listen, for everybody,
thanks for hanging on that last 5 minutes there,
guys. Thanks for staying with us here,
entertaining as we rehash the glory days of ESPN.
They're all nostalgic for that too. Like, who didn't watch that? But you know, it was like the only football I got in, I don't know, May. But
exactly.
Everybody have a great weekend.
Shorts and a tank top.
You know, kick some ass this weekend. This is a really, really fun week to make lineups. Stack your teams. Stack up these games. You know, stack up all the games separately. Make a lineup for the Titans Colts game. Make a lineup for Redskins Packers game. Make a lineup for Saints Panthers game. Build around narratives. Then if one or two of those games blows up, and of course the Patriots, and of course the Steelers-Cleveland game, there's so many. So build narrative games. And then if some of the other ones blow up, you don't have exposure to them. You know, like let everybody else blow up with that lineup. You'll have exposure in a different lineup. Approach it that way this week. Those are your games. If you're playing cash lineups, those are your games to play players from. Don't fuck around. Don't get cute. And Chop will be back.
Part two, VIP pod coming up next.
All right, very good. That's it for this one. Good luck, everyone.
Yep.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army Podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today using the coupon code Podcast on DFSArmy.com to unlock 20% off your monthly subscription and get 2 free ebooks, as well as The Secrets to Unlocking a New Level to Your Game.